Today, in the second lecture, I will go back to the immune system, but not theory. I will show you results from our experiments, which we have done in space. But first, I would like to present you some examples of the effect of true, means in space, and simulated microgravity on ground. You remember we have these simulation devices on single cells, unicellular organisms, but also on a molecule. So the first item I will explain to you is really microtubule self-organization in microgravity. It's an experiment done by Taboni and his colleagues on a sounding rocket. Microtubules are one of the three major constituents of the cytoskeleton in the cells. You remember, Augusto has told you that also we have a cytoskeleton, but also cells have cytoskeleton, which give them some rigidity. And microtubules, tubules are built from tubulin heterodimer subunits. They are put together and then finally form this structure. And you can do this reaction in vitro. This means in a glass, and then microtubules, they self-organize by way of a reaction diffusion process. You will see in a minute what I mean with this. Don't be afraid about these words. Just forget it. This is a molecule of microtubules. You see, these are all the small subunits, the tubulin, and when it forms, when it grows, on one side there are added these tubulins, and on the other side they go away. And growth direction is in this way. But to do this, you need energy. And energy is contained in this molecule, guanidine triphosphate. Forget it also, which is hydrolyzed, it gets GDP. This is an energy source. And if we put together in a glass microtubule, this means this subunit, with the energy, and you warm the solution to 37 degrees, or even lower, 7 to 36, this process starts going on. Then microtubules are growing, also in a glass. This, under a microscope, here you see many of these microtubules. It's a mess here. It's a lot of microtubules. And here we see finally a structure of microtubules in a cell. Then they are well organized as a network. They also play a role in cell division, but maybe we see one later. Now, what Taboni told us, or what he did, when microtubules are formed, we have a uniform solution of tubulin, the subunits, and the energy molecule, which we don't see. And then here they just started to form. They grow in different directions. And after a while, when they grew at the back end, we see disassembly. On this end, they are growing, they are adding tubulin. On that end, tubulin is going away. And we get here, tubulins are distributed heterogeneously, you see. And here we have clusters of tubules where it gets away from the molecule, and where it's growing, we have less of these molecules, which we need. Therefore, I think I will not go into this. This is the theory of Taboni and Prigozhin, which we have seen before, when the system is stable, and the bifurcation theory. But don't leave, make things complicated. So these molecules, when it would like to grow here, he needs the tubulin. So it goes preferentially in a region where he can find these subunits. This means here is another tubulin molecule, microtubules. On this side, he is putting the tubulin, which this molecule has split off. And here it's the same story. And this is the case where gravity comes into play, 1G. Because these molecules, they tend to go down. This accumulation of molecules is a little bit denser than the whole medium, and they grow into this direction. Okay, then he did an experiment in a sounding rocket. He had a very narrow glass cuvette, which he filled with tubulin and the energy source, and then he let it stand like that. This cuvette he had like this, flat. First we look at these two. And after a while, we can observe the formation of microtubules. And we can, when we look at the microscope with a so-called polarization optic, then we see these different stripes in different colors. And this is only the orientation of these microtubules. Let's say the yellow, they are like this. Here will be the part where microtubule is added. Here they put it away. And the yellow is just the opposite. So we have yellow, blue, yellow, blue. And here it's in the flat, something similar. And here he did an experiment on a centrifuge. This is always the G vector, but the centrifuge was moving like that. He also got this pattern of microtubule formation. This is an experiment he always can repeat. It takes about 5 hours until this pattern is formed. Maybe you remember on a sounding rocket we only have a few minutes. But Taboni found out that only what happens within the first 6 minutes is important for the formation of this pattern. He does not yet see the pattern, but after 6 minutes he can put the cuvette like he wants. He can put it like that, or like that. He will always see this formation of pattern. This on ground. And then he went on a sounding rocket. He had a control. This is the 1G vector. I don't remember he had an in-flight control or not, but he had the control. I got this thing, he's an in-flight. Then he had a centrifuge, like that. And you see, he had normal formation of pattern. And in microgravity, nothing. There was no formation of microtubule in microgravity. So, again, we look at this. Tubule started to form. He reached this point, but there was no gravity. So the microtubules which might have formed or have formed, this for sure have formed, they couldn't find the regions with higher concentration. There was no gravity. So you see, even if we have molecules, even there are bigger molecules, microgravity or gravity plays an important role. Okay, now we go to yeast cells. First lecture is a mixture from everything. Yeast cells, maybe you know it, to make bread we need yeast. Or, more important, maybe for some human beings, in beer, there is yeast. In our team, we have performed 3 experiments, but 2 in a bioreactor, a small bioreactor. And this is a yeast cell. Electron microscopic. This is the nucleus, a vacuole. And these yeast cells, they have something peculiar. They can make daughter cells, asexual daughter cells, by making this kind of pod. Comes something out and then it's cocked here and we have a new cell. And we see when this cell goes away, there are small called scars left on the cell. You see the sign. This cell went away. These are small buds which are still here, 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 or here, here. Usually, this means at 1G condition, the arrangement of the budding scars, of the scars of these small signs, is bipolar. They are usually on the opposite side. What we found in space, they were everywhere on the cell at random. We had, as I told you, yeast cells in a bioreactor. And in a bioreactor, it's important in a way that the bioreactor is stirred. That's the usual thing on ground, that all the nutrients are distributed in the culture medium. And in space, you always say you should not disturb the situation as it is in microgravity. But nevertheless, we had two kinds of bioreactor, an unstirred and a stirred. And this is distribution of budding positions, random. This means if it's here, it's more random distribution like this. In the unstirred bioreactor, in the flight sample, we had much more of these random budding scars compared to the stirred one. And the stirred one, all nutrients are distributed. On ground, it was the same. But this was surprising that in space, the yeast cells have these budding scars. Now, unicellular organism. We already have seen this swimming behavior of two different ciliates. You have seen already this small little animal. It's swimming and it can sense gravity by two different mechanisms. Let's say this is the head of the cell, even it doesn't have a... If it's swimming on this side, up against the G vector, then there are channels, potassium channels, which are open on this side, and there is a change of the polarization of the membrane. And this little animal has small ciliates to move. And this change of the membrane potential causes that the ciliates are moving faster, so the cell is swimming upwards against gravity. This is so-called negative gravity axis. This is turned around, head down, and it's swimming downwards. These channels are now closed, whereas on this side, calcium channels are open. And it happens the opposite. Again, change in the potential on the membrane. And the ciliates are slowing down. So the cell is swimming upwards, but slower speed. This is that so-called, if it's swimming with the gravity vector, it's called positive gravity axis. Ruth Hemmersbach did many experiments on sounding rockets, but also in space lab, and this is mostly her research. But first, she had to see how is paramecium swimming normally on Earth. At 1G, it shows mostly gravitaxis. I have first to explain what it is. She has measured or looked at 500 animals, how they have swim. If they swim like this upwards, this goes in this direction. If it goes down, goes here. If it goes side, then it goes here. That's how these pictures are made. And then she has tested them at 3G on a centrifuge and 4G. It's mostly the same, but we lose the few cells which showed positive gravitaxis all went negative. this here on Earth, on ground. Then she did a nice experiment in NEED-SEMI. Maybe you remember this centrifuge microscope which we had in space, which could have several accelerations. She had cells for 3 days at 1G, then she transferred into NEED-SEMI. And she measured them, swimming behavior at 0.16 G. And it's going in all directions, random. Some are going out like this, others going like this, others like this, and others like this. Higher speed, 0.3, you see, the picture is changing. There are some sideways swimming. This is a special thing. They are more now orienting, where upward swimming. 0.6 G is still a mixture, but you see, it's no more so bright. There are more cells going up. And 1G, most of the cells are swimming up. She had other cells. They were grown for 3 days in microgravity. Then she measured, swimming in all directions. Already at 0.3 G, we had favorite swimming upwards, 0.6. It's not always so clear, but she had a lot of results. It's also more, and then 1G upwards. So she said that there is a threshold of sensitivity, means that these cells start sensing gravity between 0.16 and 0.3 G, that then they start swimming normally. Then she had another organism, also unicellular organism, Loxodes, also Ruth Hammersbach, has another system for gravity sensing. This cell has so-called Müller body, and they have barium sulfate in this round thing. And it seems these are the gravity sensing particles. Here we see them here. And they are hanging on a small rod. We don't look at this. But just they have another mechanism. And they swim differently. Again, she did on ground, Loxodes, 1G. This shows positive gravity axis. This organism swims down, likes to swim down, not up. And the same at 3G and at 5G. Even there are some cells which are swimming behavior in another direction. But in space, this animal gets crazy. It's swimming in a random direction. It doesn't go in, as you see, these are the swimming tracks. And she did the same experiment. She went with Loxodes in NEED-SEMI, but this animal didn't change the swimming behavior. In NEED-SEMI, even when she had stepwise acceleration from 0G until 1G, even at 1G in space, it was always like that. Poor animal. She brought them back on ground after 2 weeks in space, and Loxodes returned from space. Happily, he started to swing down. And this is a control group. They were always on ground, same swimming behavior. So you see, each organism behaves different. Now we go to plants. Plant growth is influenced by gravity, so-called gravitropism. We leave out now light and water. So the green part, let's say, is going against the gravity. You know, all flowers or trees usually are going in this direction. And in the soil, which we usually do not see, unless we change soil to a plant, are the roots, they are growing down. And the famous experiment, this pot first was up and the plant was growing like that. Then you tilt it, and after a while, maybe even one day, not more, your plant starts growing in this direction. Why that?